3, 2, 1. That's right. You're listening to the It's My Time podcast, a recording of the experiences, past and present, of everyday people.
Yes, indeed. Yes,
and now, here's your host.
You know who it is.
The one, the only.
Let's go.
Asher Chua.
Asher Chua.
Welcome back to the podcast, Mrs. Thomas.
Well, I'm so happy that you called me to return. I had a good time last time.
I appreciate that. And this time I gave you a little bit more time so that we got into it and it wasn't just all of a sudden.
Right.
For anyone that doesn't know you, who do you say you are?
I'm Vanessa Thomas. I am Eric Thomas's mom. They call me E.T.'s mom. I am a resiliency coach. I am a person who has persevered over everything that has come my way, because you learn that life is good and bad, soft and hard, and you just have to keep moving space that feel most.
It's funny, as we're talking and I'm looking through things, we're talking about being in transition. And I think you being a resilient coach and going through the life that you've had and seeing your son become the man that he's become, and pulling out the things that you've instilled in him. It's great to see that life still keeps going on and we don't stop learning just because we've reached a certain level, whether it feels like a mountaintop or a valley, so to speak.
We do. I have a wonderful relationship with my son, but it wasn't always so. And even when I was struggling, how I felt based on how he was responding and feeling. Through the growth, I could see when you can own up to things, then you can have a lot more empathy for others, because now you're seeing it from their lens, not your own. And that was a big aha that I thought we were okay back years ago, but I realized there was still a little tension. And it was because I wasn't always willing to be vulnerable, just to tell the whole truth, not just part of it. And once I did, man, it freed me up and made me understand where he was coming. And it just solidified our relationship that had not been solidified in a very time because of that unspoken thing brought out.
I'm glad you said that, because it seems like vulnerability is a thing that's more popular present day, and it's more people are accepting of it. And it seems that for whatever reason, whether it's the pressures we've grown under, or maybe you can speak to it yourself, like was it challenging to become vulnerable?
Well, from the generation that I came up in, you were taught to be tough, make a decision, roll. But what it was doing was just taking in consideration your reason, not the whole picture. So it's kind of like you hear, there's your truth, my truth, and the absolute truth. Mm-hmm. Depends on what angle you're watching. Our situation, Eric and I, was basically, I didn't tell about the father, mm-hmm. but I felt like because I never said anything against him and he didn't want to be present, that was enough, but it was. And I held some beliefs about his father that I thought I had gotten from under because I had survived, mm-hmm. but there was still this little residue. And once I forgave myself, because I always told myself that Eric's father and I relationship, while it ended, it wasn't that. It was his protecting his character or reputation. Mm. But I found that I was guilty of the same thing. And wow, once I saw my part, that I really hadn't done anything different except I didn't abandon him, but I was guarding my reputation as well. Mm. Once I could see that, I could just forgive the whole thing. And now it's nothing there. I saw him and I have no malice. I have, bad ill will or anything, because he did what I did. It's just the results were different.
Right, right. That makes so much sense, because for myself, how I've been able to relate to that is going through the transition period. And I've had to be reminded of that when I'm physically moving where I've moved to now, and seeing it as it's not just you move to a new house or a new apartment or a new town and it's like, okay, that's it. You settle in, you get used to the workflow. And it's like, no, this is an ongoing thing. And there isn't like a stop date. But throughout the process, you have to allow yourself to notice that you're going through a change and like warm up to things as they kind of unravel. And I've heard someone say this recently, that truth is something that unveils itself. Because back to the point that you made, where everyone has their perspective. And it's like, if I'm looking through my window into the room, what I see is what I see. I might not be aware of what's over on your side. But if I don't have the opportunity to walk over there and hear from you or be privy to something else, I could just be like, oh, this is the whole truth and nothing but the truth. But it's like, okay, that might not be necessarily the case.
Correct. It might not necessarily, because I remember talking to my son's father, and I had became aware way years and years after the break, decades actually, and found out something about him that was going his life. And I said to him, at that point in your life, you didn't be exposed. And I understand, but I didn't know that. And so I had this harsher reality. Now, what he did was, it cost him so much and not be vulnerable. That was like, how can I stay mad?
Right.
My inability to be vulnerable with Eric created a lot of problems, but my love for him, his love for me, was enough for us to come back in the middle and finally understand why, even though it didn't hurt anything.
Yeah.
He did it. Now I get it. And I had to say, yeah, when I got married and moved on, I got a do-over. So I didn't think I was wrong because he wasn't present. Mm. But he wasn't present for a different reason altogether than I thought.
Right.
And then I said, what a cost that we both paid. But I was able, because I was very about things later, and it knitted us back whole.
Mm. When you say you were able to be redeemed, like, what did that look like for you?
Well, as a mother, I felt in the beginning that I had been so protective of Eric. So what's the problem? Speak against your dad. I never slandered him. I allowed him to see his grandparents, and he wasn't around or wasn't known when he came around who he actually was.
Mm-hmm.
And so I thought that I was honorable, and I was, and I was. If I had a continued with what I had done or allowed to happen, yet tell the truth. You know what, Eric? I did tell him that he is not your biological father, but I could have been a lot more. I could have pressed the family to say why he come, but I just said, I got a do-over. I'm not even going to concern myself.
Right.
But that meant pain that people have has to address, or is different. I felt I just had to address.
Gotcha. I guess, would you say you felt any kind of apprehension or fear when you look at, okay, I'm doing my best with what I have. I have to protect myself and protect, not just like, you could say emotionally, like you want to protect yourself, like your well-being, like, because I don't know if it's something that's considered a lot when people talk about having adult conversations, because the hard conversations seem to be the financial, physical, or now we talk about the mental. And I think sometimes, like, out of the five pillars, so to speak, the emotional and the spirituality, maybe spirituality gets overdone with religion, but it's not really understood or allowed to unfold, so to speak. So it's like we're so conditioned in today's time to, or I guess for all time, with a worker's mentality, or like constantly driven to like produce, like survive. And it's like, if you're constantly on the edge of survival, you never have time to sit and think. And that's kind of the difference between a first world country and a third world country, where it's like in the third world, you're just in survival mode. You're trying to get your next meal. And in the first world country, it's like, okay, you've got your basic needs met, food, water, clothing, shelter. And you can think about, oh, do I want to do this? What do I want to do with my time? Who do I want to help? How's my impact going to be on the world? It's like when you're struggling, you're not really thinking about those things that will be far reaching.
And you're right. And from the emotional standpoint, it was a struggle, and I was so busy surviving the struggle, the emotional struggle, that I didn't see all the good. And it would have been the perfect time to be honest. But it was like, things are smooth, you know, nothing's on. Obviously, relationship with the eternal family is good. But unbeknownst, there was a lot of things under the surface. When it finally came ahead, it was terrible, because you're wondering, my son was like afraid to hear the truth, yet he know he was at a point where I just can't take it because it's killing me. And he was rebelling. But I couldn't see the connection with the rebellion related to his emotional state. I just, you know, didn't draw, you know, do connect the dots.
Right.
Because I thought all the things that we do for our kids, and especially the things that I had done, change our life, that was enough. It's not. You still got to be honest, and you still got to be vulnerable, if that means you got to share something you really share.
Right.
And you are not only released from the hiding, Will, and not for me, I never really had to lie because I wasn't from, so nobody, I had the, I got the occasional, my God, you got a son this short, Your husband's 6'8", but he looks just like you, and he didn't get any of his dad's height. Mm. And I would kind of, you know, blow it off. But unbeknown, our kids are struggling with emotional things and unmet needs that we have to be vulnerable in order for it to help us.
Yeah.
We have to. I wrote a lot from that painful experiences, but the other side of that being vulnerable is so much peace, because now you don't have that energy that you gotta hide or protect. You're open now for more of the positivity in life, because hiding is negative.
Right.
It's a negative spirit, you know, and it takes a lot to get to the other side, but there is so much joy and wholeness restored.
Right. I guess it wouldn't be far-fetched to say you kind of feel justified in doing what you feel you need to do in the time and place when it's this is what makes sense, right?
Right. And that's where the anger came, because in my heart, I've taken you from this place that I said I would never allow my child to live how I had to live, and the emotional things that happened. And it wasn't necessarily my mother. It was like my emotional needs. And I don't want my kid to go through that. So I did feel justified. I felt that if your father don't want, I'm not going to be the one to tell you anything about it. But not sharing anything was just as bad, I would imagine, as telling more than you that was necessary to explain away why he's not there.
Right, right. And I guess hearing this from you, and also being able to go through the healing process from a child's perspective on my end, is giving me more empathy for my parents, and seeing that even if they don't have the language to explain and express what you just did, there's an opportunity to get back to relationship and mend what's been broken, and being honest with tact, and being honest to kind of let go of the things that you fear are going to basically devolve everything and make everything, the floodgates just break apart. And it's like, oh, like you're getting cast into hell, and everything else is going to go like terrible. And it's like, okay, if I actually tell the truth and I put myself upright, like what's the best thing that could happen, instead of just, okay, let's consider the worst things, but what are the better things that can happen? And then from there, maybe we can build.
Right. To when you're no longer thinking in fear, you don't think about what the worst happened. And that's why you, in fear, you're never looking for a good outcome. So you keep lying, because you don't want it to come out. But knowing and being able to speak on the truth, I actually found that the relationship was even better, because now we can approach each other and he'll say, you know, mom, I know you're my mom, but you're a baby boomer. There are certain behaviors that you've always had, but now that I'm helping you do certain things, we can't always be mama-child relation. Now, if I hadn't healed, I'd probably see that. Mm. But it's like, you're right. You're not an expert on everything. Your son is an expert in what he does. Then he is the voice. But man, we wouldn't be able to be this frank had we not cleared up the air of things that were bothering him. But I was feeling some kind of way that he doesn't love me in a way that I thought he should. But once I understood his view, I could understand why he felt that way until mend our relationship.
That's awesome. And it's funny. It's fun for me to see other people win, because the more I've become, the more I've gotten better, been better to myself, learning to see myself. I don't see it as envy anymore, because before it would have been like, man, I want that. I want this. I want that. But it's like, no, I'm happy for you and your son. And like on this level, like we don't have to look at everything else that's come as a result of it, but it's like being able to appreciate where someone is and what they have for themselves, and being able to celebrate that without like that needing to be approved, be affirmed. It's like, oh, okay, like because I'm starting to do that. And when like what would you say has been, since then, it's been years now, like what's kind of unfolded for you as a result of getting through that hard spot that you thought might have been impossible before?
I have a sense of ease, calm. Mm-hmm. Before, I would wonder, why is he, maybe be reluctant because I know the relationship strength, but it was really an offer. Hey, mom, we're good. But yeah. I think my guilt made me feel like I wasn't worthy to take certain things or to ask for certain things, because I perceived myself that he was angry, but he wasn't really angry at me personally. Mm-hmm. He just wanted to know his birthright. And you know, he said, I went to the doctor and I couldn't even tell him things because I don't know. And when he found his father, I shouldn't say found him, when he met up with him officially as knowing he was his father, A, he was shocked because he had kind of been in and out of the picture, not announced himself. And then he saw, man, I see why I do certain things from the good side. I got this characteristic from him, or this love for so-and-so him. So now he feels, because he's connected, and it wasn't a cost where it's this or that. It can be both.
Right.
And that's what was hard for me to deal with at first, because I wondered, now that he knows him and he's angry at me, how will this affect our relationship? And it didn't have a negative. Actually, it made the bond both honest.
Yeah, that's awesome. And I guess how did your husband respond to it? Because since it's like you've moved on from the former relationship and you're trying to build and maintain your family. And then, of course, your son wants contact with his dad. And now it's like, okay, well, don't really want to do.
Actually, it's been crazy. My husband is a very balanced person. So as a father to Eric, he never was, Eric will tell you to this day, he never got disciplined or anything. He treated him like biological son. So he said, all this riff, I ain't got nothing. It ain't got nothing to do with me. I love my son. I'm his father. And so he hasn't shown any sign of envy or jealous or uncomfortable. I think we saw his father, biological father, a year ago. They both, but they don't really talk. Mm-hmm. I do remember once him saying to Jesse, thank you for raising my son, something to that effect. And he said, I didn't raise as my son. And not in a way of rivalry, but that, no, I didn't raise him as a stepchild.
Right.
I adopted. And so me and Eric don't have him, and they don't. You know, I went out of town a couple weeks ago, Next Level Speaking Academy, and Eric assumed that I was dad home. And he said, I got dad. I'll be sure that we get over there. Kids are coming week and they spend time with him. Mm-hmm. And I was so happy because I hadn't mentioned that I was him. Mm-hmm. But he assumed because of vigor of that upcoming 2-day conference. Mm-hmm. And they had already had a plan in place for him. And man, that I knew then that everything is fine.
Yeah, wow, that's beautiful.
Yeah, man, it was hard. Didi came by with food. Jada and Jalen came by. Oh, he was saying, don't rush home. I'm good. We've been eating good. Bringing me food and time, and the kids laughed about watching YouTube. I'm like, this is a family.
Yeah, and it's the simple things. I mean, the like really being able to enjoy that quality time. And when it's not always promised or scheduled, but it's like when you're able to make things line up and you enjoy the time that you're there, I think that's very much worthwhile.
Yeah, they didn't. It wasn't scripted, and but for them to suspect that I would need their help, them coming to me and saying, well, we got you covered. Mm. And I'm like, wow, I didn't even tell him I was leaving. And I hadn't prepared food like I knew because he changed his mind at the last moment. But it was just so, I mean, it was so hard to see the support. It's like, you have to know, Vanessa, your family is whole and healed. And you, any little doubt that you have, you need to get rid of it at this very moment. And I did. I was like, God is so good.
Yeah. And it kind of goes back to our last conversation that we had where it's getting to know yourself and being able to make time, like to consider yourself and say, okay, although I can do this, like I've got to see what are my needs. And if it doesn't work out, then I can say, no, I can't do this right now. I need to be able to take a break. I need to go do this. Because then when you show up refreshed and rejuvenated, you're not just ready to go, but you've taught people how to, and even like your own family, you're teaching them how you work and they respect and reciprocate that to say, oh, okay, like we got this. Like we know you care about him. We care about him too. So we're going to cover this. We're going to cover that. And it's like, man, like what a difference a day make, what a difference a plan makes.
It's like manna from heaven, I'm telling you. And because I have been sharing even more vocally about this overgiving, I have a tendency to just stop everything for everybody. And I realized that it comes from a place of not getting the type of attention I wanted, even as a child, especially in my early years, my mom. Mm. I had 13 siblings and my mom just didn't have time. So right. I was overdue to secure my spotting. Mm-hmm. And it translated into my adult. Mm-hmm. But now I can honestly say, here are some things that I have. Mm-hmm. Something else has to give. You
know, it's
like a joke. You got three things and one has to go. So now I say, I don't have to be the first line of defense for everything. I can get a house. Mm-hmm. I can call and get them to deliver food or groceries.
Yeah.
I can let it go. I just say, No, when we started packing up to move, I knew what happened packed up from the last house.
Right.
I cannot work at that level anymore. Mm. So I found that I haven't literally cooked, and that's unheard of. But we haven't missed a meal. It's something in the freezer. We go out to eat a lot more for this period of time.
Right.
Because
right.
I say, if I do all that I must do and mm. that I used to do, guess what's going to happen?
Get burnt out.
And I get burned out a lot easier at 7 than I did at 60. And so not only being able to acknowledge that I'm going to do that, the bigger problem, feel guilty right. as caretaker. Our parents, our loved ones, our kids, our friends. If you're a caretaker personality like me, if I say no, I mean it, but I feel guilt. Not now. I'll be clear and just say, look, I'm not in the mood. Mm-hmm. I'm tired. I got too much on the agenda today. And so, no. I would tell you I'll see forward, mm. knowing it was a no.
Right, right.
But now if I know it's a no, I'm going to tell you. And yeah. My husband and I had breakfast late today. And he said, can we go? I said, we need to get to the market because mm. I need to buy 215 top. And he said, let's go tomorrow. I said, oh, no. I got to go here, there, everywhere. And I got a Zoom call tomorrow. We're not going to do it tomorrow. There's no space. We don't get grocery today. Mm. Probably ain't going to get any till Friday. So let's stop what we're doing. And I was shocked that I could say it and I wasn't upset. Mm. But here's what my agenda is. Tomorrow. If you want food, it's going to be today or it ain't going to be. And man, it was so easy. We had an hour and a half. We mm. got home in an hour and mm. everybody's happy for the rest of the week.
Yeah.
But I couldn't have done that before without having an attitude because I didn't ask you something. And now you want to change the plans mm. or God, what am I going to do? Tomorrow right. I got to add something else. But I was frank and I gave alternative. We don't have to do anything today. But we won't be tomorrow either.
Right,
and
right.
we resolved. That's big for me to be that forefront.
Yeah, I definitely feel I'm picking up what you're putting down there. And mm-hmm. I'm over here just smiling for you and happy for you because I'm like, I've had similar wins myself. And making that decision of being able to say no and understanding that you don't have to always raise your voice or fight, but it's like you can be stern and even steady your voice. And having that steel confidence to say, hey, this is what I need. And mm-hmm. if you know you're dealing with someone that, or you're speaking and communicating to someone that really cares about you, they can think about it for a minute. Maybe they'll be upset the first time or they might be thrown off, but it's like, oh, okay. Like, let me think about it. This is the priority. Like if we don't get food today, we're not going to get food till Friday. That might be an issue.
Yes. And you're right. The pushback, because this has been kind of happening, mm-hmm. and I would say, I don't have time, but now I'm clear. Mm-hmm. I'll see my calendar, and I'll say, I'm not saying you have to, because maybe you can go to the store yourself. It right, doesn't right. like that. But if you need to go, mm-hmm. you got to consider right. all those things that are important, not only that I want to do, but that I must do. Mm-hmm. And the more I do it, I see they get it, because now they're accepting that change. Mm-hmm. As before, it pushed back, why we got to do this? And it's like, now I tell them I'm not upset at anyone because that's how I operated. Right. But I'm in a new season. That's how I put it. Mm-hmm. And in this season, those things have to be thrown away.
Right.
In order for me to feel less stressed. Feel like what I wanted is
right.
And everybody's going to be happy tonight when I cook. Because mm. trust me, it hasn't been a meal cooked in at least a month.
Yeah.
And so, it's, work with me yeah. and then everybody wins. But for me, it was finally being assertive mm. and not so much the people. Because someone spoke about the trauma or some of the hard experiences as kids, how they mark us. And mm. I have to be honest. My mom, I helped her one time when I was about 8 or 9 in the supermarket. I mean, I was breaking down prices and the whole bit. Mm. And after that, I would see a coupon or I would see a sale paper. I'm a kid. I ain't even in fifth grade. Mm. And I'm educating my mom how to shop. And I became so valuable. So I got the attention. My sisters would say, oh, she favors you. No, she's leaning on me because I made myself invaluable. Mm. But I ain't going to tell you looking back that I was happy, but I was seeking her attention. That's right. how I got it. And so, yeah, I didn't know that until recently that the overpleased or doing for is really because begging for acceptance.
Right.
Because maybe what I needed emotionally, my mom didn't have. And she didn't have.
Yeah.
But I just figured out a way to make myself get her attention. My sisters did.
Right.
So I wasn't the favorite. And I carried that on for years and years. And now it's like, oh yeah, I'm not doing that. Not healthy. Any first.
Right. I definitely agree with you, because a lot of those principles that you speak to, I read it from this book titled No More Mr. Nice Guy. And it describes this syndrome or this caricature of the nice guy, as they may put it, because it's like the nice guy is always posed opposite of the bad guy. But yeah. It's like, in reality, not being bad shouldn't be nice. Like, maybe the opposite of bad can be good. But just because you're good doesn't mean you have to be walked on. It doesn't exactly. mean that, like, your life has to be problem free, or you do everything you can to please people, because ultimately it's up to the person to decide what pleases them, what's going to make them happy. But it's like, if you make that your life's mission, at some point in time, you're either going to get disappointed, or you're going to start upsetting the person that you're actually talking to. And then they're like, I don't
what
need this.
To you yeah, used it's, to be so, you were right. so sweet. Yeah.
It's like, you're this milquetoast person. And it's like yeah. It's like, because the intentions were wrong to begin with, that exactly. persona got worn out, and it's like it was almost done underhanded, to where it's like, I'm gonna do this to get the attention that I need, but instead of saying, hey, this is what I need, like, what can I do to have my needs met?
We don't do that. We do what you say. And then a person will say, well, why are you mad? You're the one and that always want to be Captain Saber, you know what.
Right.
You know, you'll sometimes say, what, they're right. Why are you always trying to? Now, they say it to insult you, but it's an aha moment.
Mm-hmm.
And then you say, oh, they're right. So I'm going to stop. Mm. Not out of malice, but they're right. I was doing this for the wrong reason.
Right.
And then they'll come back and say, what happened? You say, well, I'm not that person.
Mm.
And they're mad because you were a floor mat pretty
right.
much. If you agree to anything people say or keep adjusting your life,
mm-hmm.
or to accommodate other people, you're doing them a disservice as well as you're doing yourself.
Right, right.
So now I'm like, not mean, but I'll say, I can honestly, I ain't never done this, but I actually promised somebody some stuff. I was going to do some stuff. I was going to mm-hmm. cook. And I, in the midst of the day, I said, I don't feel like I could have never done that. You hear me?
Right.
Actually,
right.
I would have been the person who would have did it with resentment or bitterness, because I was raised to say, if you promise, cannot break a promise.
Right.
But I'll give the segue into it. I know I promised it,
mm-hmm.
but you know what? I ain't feeling it. I got a headache, or I didn't sleep good, or I just don't want to do it. Mm-hmm. And I say it without being defensive.
Right.
And they'll say, well, I said, I know what I said, but.
Yeah.
What I'll do is say tomorrow after 4, because I remember the next day being real busy. But after 4 tomorrow, but you know what? I'm going to take a nap. And the person started respecting me differently, because I wasn't always switch gears.
Right.
And I've done that with most of my life. I don't care who you are. If you call me and it's not a fire, I will tell you, you know, girl, I ain't available. You
right.
know I can't.
Right, right.
I'm about to go on do not disturb it. Mm. And I said, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Without guilt.
Right. And that's without guilt part is something you have to work at constantly, because even for myself, I see it like through having done coaching and counseling, going through the sessions, it actually feels good to reach out to my coach and to say, hey, I've got good news. Like, I want to check in. It's been a few weeks. It's been a month, but I want to check in, see you're good, your family's good, and actually let you know, here are some of the wins. Here's maybe a stressor that came up, but here's the exercise that I use. Here's how I walk through it. And I actually allowed myself to go through the progression, to where when I started, I was like, I don't want to stay attached to something, to where it's like, I always have to be dependent, be dependent, be dependent. It's like, I want to be able to be interdependent, like lean on people, lean on their strengths to use my strengths, but I don't want to be always in a place of desperation or need, to where it's like, okay, like the world's falling apart. It's like, I don't want to wake up as a Groundhog's Day where it's same thing, rinse and repeat, same thing. And it's just like, you're dreading the day, you're dreading the next step. And it's like, man, when do I get out of this hole? When do I get out of this pit? Like, why is everything just blah, 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 blah? And it's like, when those moments and times come up, it's using subtle reminders of like, okay, this is a moment that's happened. Like something's happening. Mm-hmm. I can pause. I recognize that something's happening. Let me breathe. If it feels so overwhelming, maybe I can step back, walk away, like stop. Literally, because if I'm doing something so much so to where my life is at risk, or I don't feel that I can control the outcome in a way that doesn't put me at risk, mm-hmm. then something's not right there. And it's like going through that process step by step and reminding myself that I get to decide in every situation that I step into, what are the outcomes that I want and what are the things that I can give. And if I can't give anything, just like, especially with family, learning that there's a time and place for things, and maybe somebody's on a 10 and I'm on a 1 and I'm like, yeah, right now is not the time. And it's like, I respect you. You know, I love you. I'll call you back. We'll come back to it. And like, when you even talk, it might not have been that important. They don't even remember it. It's like, it blew by, water under the bridge, something else came up. Oh, look at that, a solution that came up, and I didn't have to do anything to like resolve it or do anything about that.
Well, once I think we hone in to our own true self, because like I said, I was an overgiver and overpromise. Mm. And once I got burnt out, I actually asked myself, who does anything real?
Right.
And it's like, you never ask nobody anything. I'm a guy.
Yeah.
Call me and everybody does. The guy, mm-hmm. I got a problem. I got a solution. It might be go around the horn to get to. But finally, I asked myself, how is this what you help all this overgiving and supportive? There's never any reciprocity.
Yeah, you're not getting a TV show out of it.
Right. That's not healthy.
Yeah.
And you say, okay, I remember thinking, well, ain't no point of me being mad because I created monster. Now, what do you do to tame? You learn to say no. Sometimes I have a conversation and say, hey, this is what I used to do, but I'm no longer doing it because it's impeding my growth for my own personal life. Or A, I can't do things on the level I could do when I was 5. So we're going to have to back that up.
Yeah.
And I've had pushback. Someone said, close family, you could do it if you wanted. And I thought about it for a hot second and I said, right, I don't want. So instead of getting defensive, I leaned in and said, you're right. And I'm not. I've been doing this and I ain't mad and I may do it again. But the presumption that every time you ask a particular thing is going to be met, it's not happening. And right. They got upset. But guess what? We got a new level of self-respect. Mm-hmm. They know that my boundaries used to fluid, mm-hmm. but they know about certain things. They're not. They're mm-hmm. rich. You're not going to go beyond something that I'm comfortable with, mm-hmm. even though I did it in the past. I had this resentment or feeling some kind of way. Right. Now I don't.
Yeah.
And I feel that people respect you more when you have real boundaries and expectations too. Like, do I have to say to one friend, what you do for me, girl? You always got at wanting something. I say, girl, what you, girl, don't be like that. No, I'm just saying, you're mad because I won't come through. What do you do for me? Mm-hmm. Oh, you live too far, or girl, I can't do it this week. It's like, I'm being more mindful because I was so much in that giving, helpful mentality. I never really saw there was hardly any reciprocity,
right.
Family or friend,
yeah.
Because I didn't require it. Not that I didn't require it for the relationship. I felt I had to do all of this. Mm. And now that I realize I don't, and that I have no reason to be mad because of some things I set up into motion. Now I'm healthier. And I believe that they recognize that now and they don't push the boundaries like they
do. Right, man, that's such a good insight.
Oh man, I'm telling you, we have this thing, I call it, my mom, she was the sublineal suggestion. Oh my God, she never, my mom, I look back and we had the worst fight about something I asked her to do and wouldn't do. Mm. And I said, I do everything you ask me. And she said, I have never asked you, damn. Mm. And I just cried. But when I look back, she never had.
Right.
She just put that sublineal suggestion out, and that's weak.
Yeah,
because she could admit that she never asked. And when I researched back in my head, she had not. But I had been groomed to take her suggestions,
right?
And with my adult life, I went in with that same mindset. We got to make a shift.
Yeah,
if something we finally realize is not healthy and it's being manipulative, because some people are more keen to those subtle suggestions. I could hear my mom wanting to go to get Chinese. And she wouldn't say it, but she might say, oh, I ain't had an egg roll in a long time. And automatically knew, oh, I need to take her to Colin.
Right, right.
And we would get into this fight about who's going to pay, knowing she wasn't going to pay.
Right.
But we would get into this fight. And then I'm like, I don't want to do that. So I said to her, you were right, Mom, about not asking me for anything. But I'm going to ask you to respect me. Because if you don't ask, I'm not going to make
money. Right.
And I meant, because how dare you be so right?
Mm-hmm.
I've been crying for everybody's need since a little girl. And I, with people, be mindful of that.
Yeah.
And find out, is it still applicable? Is it still helpful? Is it still necessary? How do you feel when people constantly ask you without asking? Mm-hmm. And if you're not comfortable, you got to tell them. Or for me, I would just pretend I didn't hear it. It's like, put the shield up. I would say that, like Star Trek, shield up. I ain't hearing no indirect commands or ask. You don't ask plain, I'm not doing it, because I get the foot in the butt, because they say, nobody asked you to do all that. You're the one wanted to. Yeah, but you primed me. You know how I'm cut.
Yeah.
And now I don't do it. If I hear it, honestly, I put the shield up. And I don't have this blank face like, I didn't hear nothing you just said. And they're uncomfortable for a second. Like, I know she, no, I did. But the shield went up before it caught me. Okay, so sorry.
Yeah.
We're forever needing to change, grow, and adapt.
I agree with you.
I mean, we can't be who we are at 5, 10, 20, 50, 70. At 71, a lot of things that I took for granted and thought I needed to do, you can't. Mm-hmm. And you have to come to terms. And younger, if you do too much for people and accept every little acts they want, you are enabling and making them entitled. And entitled people don't see what you only see what thing they asked for that you did not. And you're left crying all the time because you can't.
Right.
But you can change.
That's powerful. And man, I think we might just have to end it there, because it's like you don't have to win, but you can change. Oh man, I love that. Because it's like, I think what you're really speaking to is like speaking against the sacred cow, so to speak, or like the unspoken. Like, it's like we tend to operate in a fog, so to speak. And it's that you have an idea of what's going on, but you don't know what you're fighting against. It's like, is it one person? And it's never even like the person, but it's like behaviors, attitudes, problems that like create all these challenges that wouldn't really be there if things were direct, talked through truthfully.
Right.
And it's like, you don't have to go tell off your whole family. Yeah.
Right. Don't question, do as you're told. This is how we operate. And but we all agree that our mother was the person who never talked plain, never. And then in her, and a lot of our siblings and myself included, I was never totally direct, unless it was one of those situations where it's like, oh, hey, you're not about to talk to me. But we were taught to don't rock the boat.
Yeah.
And it's created so much stress, unnecessary stress in our lives, because we don't want to say to a person, I don't like the way you treat me, or you're doing something that is not kind. We just grin and bear it, but under the skin, we're just boiled. But I feel so much better. And I really think I get a lot more respect, and people care for me more, because I'm not a wuss.
Right.
They know that if they ask now, she's probably going to say no, because I was the one, I was the you know, like you jump off the porch and I got the net. It's like, girl, bye. You can do that. No, I'm not doing it.
Right.
And I was like, wow, make them strong on their own, because they don't even appreciate what, because they've done it so many times. It's just like breathing air. Mm-hmm. It's a given.
Yeah.
And I'm mad. Here they come again. Now it's like, I don't even lie. It's just say, I don't have the money. I can't do it. And I'd give you an elaborate lie. I had to help my daughter pay the insurance. Now I said, no, I can't. And they pause. And I just keep pausing. I'm not saying, I don't have money for that.
Mm.
I don't say I don't got money, because I used to. And they said, well, you got it. And I'm like, what I got? I could have a crack for all things, because I work. I got a certain amount of money, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And now I just say, no, I don't have
it. Yeah.
I tell one cousin, I can't give it.
Mm-hmm.
Says, well, you know, I'll pay. No, you never.
Mm-hmm.
I won't give you nothing. I'm not forever.
Right.
And I'm not in that. And they either straighten up or they just don't call, you know, what the relationship.
Yeah.
But that comes from being able to look at yourself object, revisit a lot of the things you had, and ask yourself now, was it ever appropriate? No. So forgive you. Yeah. And moving on, I'm going to, or everybody doesn't get this party, just your top five or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So I have changed and grown in so many ways out of necessity. Mm-hmm. And now it's like, I have no problem saying something doesn't work. If it doesn't bear the fruit that I want,
right.
I won't. And I'm at,
I like now, that.
I got to share this.
Yes, ma'am.
I talked to a lady today and she's not American. So they look at life. So she said to me, you know what? You are doing so hers who have had tragic back, and you must be proud of yourself, you know, from where you come, poverty. And I was offended because how dare you? But then I thought about it the next day and I said, she's right. But because she's not an American would have said it different.
Mm.
They would have probably said, girl, grew up on the street, you have really persevered and changed your life. But to start with, you didn't have Jack. And you come from nothing. It's like, wow.
Yeah.
But I had to say that triggered me, what she said,
mm-hmm.
because the shame I felt when I was in that state. And I knew I was triggered.
Yeah.
So I was able to process it and see that she really didn't mean anything in how she said it. That's her culture. She's not an American. They don't put verbs and adjectives together like we do.
Right. But
before I was healed, I would have taken that person because you said I come from nothing, even though I didn't. I don't like the way you said.
Right.
But
right.
Then I felt this joy to say, sometimes I forget how far I've come where I was as a child.
Yeah.
And that you should be happy for this, all of this growth that you experienced. But shame will make us feel bad even in the face of doing wonder. Because
so
I was
true.
Doing wonderful. But my shame of being a teen mom kept me from truly enjoying it because I had never left the survival poverty mindset.
Right.
And I was so happy that I actually could like do a rewind to what she said and said, you meant no harm.
Right.
But you still got a little nugget of shame. Because that's a sign right there. If someone says you're too defensive, what is that pain that they just touched? And I realized that I was buried. That was my up. I had all that. I was born.
Yeah. And I like that instead of trying to eradicate it, get rid of, oh, forget that lady. I'm going to tell her off this, that, and the other. It's like you were able to revisit it, acknowledge that it triggered you, and then dig a little bit into seeing why did this trigger me? Oh, it's the specific shame that underlies this. And there's truth out of that I can pull out, and I don't have to make the issue with her, but it's like, here's the issue that I had with myself.
Right.
Let me stop blaming myself. Let me forgive, acknowledge what is, see how far I've come, and actually see, oh, okay, that was actually a blessing. It may have kind of come off sideways because it's like different culture, but it's like, oh, okay. Like, it was actually a compliment. That wasn't just like somebody hit me upside my head to be like, what the heck is your deal?
Yeah, I literally was feeling this sense of pride after it was all said and done. And say, I remember thinking, you're a real mama jamma.
Yeah.
So many people could not have gotten through what you
did.
But the shame kept me from acknowledging the growth.
Yeah.
Truly embracing the progress that I had. And I'm like, shame is heavy.
Yeah, I'd say one of the things, I don't know if you're familiar with this gentleman. I think he passed away last year. Kevin Samuels, he'd come out with this moniker because one of the things I think he caught a lot of flack at was because he was one advocating for men, but also he decided to speak about accountability from the women's perspective to say that as much as men are told, you have to be this, you have to be that, especially for straight heterosexual men, it's that women play a role in it too. And I think to your point, it's like nobody ever speaks against mom because it's like mom did the job of caring, mom is doing this. It's always like mom is under pressure, under stress, and it's like don't question anything that mom says. And it's like in the questioning or in putting up boundaries, it's not meant to disrespect mom. And even in saying, okay, analyze the Black woman, for instance, it's not a thing of, okay, instead of working together, it's almost like people have forgotten that we started to grow further and further apart. And people like to ask certain questions where it's like, they're not real questions because they can always be met with like basic answers, or like we say, oh yeah, somebody should really do something about this. But like, if you look at who's asking and like how often the same question comes up, it's like, you're not really willing to address that question honestly enough to
openly.
Right. And openly to have an outcome. But the reason I brought up the Kevin Samuels gentleman is that one of the things that he would say as like this defense mechanism that someone would use, or women specifically would use, but also I could see it myself as a guy. It's like, okay, don't do this if you don't want it done to you. It's like when you're losing an argument, there's the use of sign language, as he would say, is shame, insults, guilt, and the need to be right. So it's like, if you're having a conversation, whatever it may be, it's like, you don't have to be disrespectful. But if somebody is approaching you with bad intentions, they'll start applying sign language. And it's like, okay, well, your mom is not this, or you're not this, or you don't come from good stock. You're like, they just start throwing those little pepper jabs. So it's like you mentioned being a single mom, and it's that could keep you there. But it's like from that point, you made different decisions. And even in making those different decisions, there were still things you had to address. And instead of continuing to lash out at people and being like, okay, I'm going to throw one back at you. It's like you started reflecting the mirror towards yourself and really doing that healing process. And it's like, oh, I don't need to be right in this, or I don't have to guilt someone into feeling a certain type of way, or I don't have to feel guilty. It's that, just those.
I don't have to respond. Yeah. You know, yeah. That's something that we're all so react, but I've learned to, like, I may make a little, so you know I'm on the other line, or I'm grunt, so you know I'm listening, but I don't engage. And that was one of the things I needed to stop, because I was always engaged.
Yeah.
You know, if you say something, I got to say, now my thing is less.
Right. And I just brought up the gentleman as an example, but one of the things that I'm doing, even as I said what I just said now, is that I'm spending less time apologizing for having a thought or an opinion, but I'm taking more time to actually express myself and to be who I am, and get to learn that I can learn from anyone that's similar or very dissimilar to me. It doesn't need to be like political, spiritual, and anything in between, because it's like, I think there's always something to be said where there's like divide and conquer. Like if there's any kind of friction, confrontation, people just eat that stuff up. But it's like,
oh, they know. And that's the thing. Me and my husband, we were disagreeing about something political. Mm. And I said what I said. And then I saw that it was getting ready to be an argument. And I said, you know what? It's not even worth us getting into disagreement. Most people watch the paper. Mm. So we get a different idea. And then those words make you convey certain things in your head, not just Joe Smoke telling his opinion. Because we all have biases. Mm. But we have to be so mindful that everybody's not like us, and we can't. Some of the worst things that happened to me in my life have yielded the biggest gift in my life. I'll give you an example. When I was 10, I was sexually beat up really bad. Went to the doctor, got stitches in my head, but nobody ever talked. And so I slowly went into a mental state, probably depression, and I lost my inability to talk about it. It was like talking about that, bury it, that's dumb.
Right.
But society really did a number. So while I was unburdened, I literally was like an addict. So within that hardship, darkest day of my life, come out of there smarter than the average bear, because I read so much, type of reading that allowed me to get in good high school, pass the test with honor. So I tell people, bad things happen. We get to decide, are we going to be a victim of it forever, or are we going to find some nugget in that hardship that'll get us on the other side coming? And when I survived and finally got my voice back after the assault, when I got pregnant, I'd already had some bounce back in me by then, you know, because to overcome that without any professional help, it was a miracle. Mm-hmm. So now I'm like, if I could survive this, I'm going to survive that. So I'm already looking at myself as a victor, even before I am, because I survived that. I'm going to get out of this neighborhood, because if I don't, my son is going to be privy to the same hell I've had. And people say all the time, well, girl, I just can't see it. No, you have to forgive. You have to find a way to be okay with what happened.
Right.
You have to forgive yourself for the missteps you made. I mean, I was so pissed at my son's father for not being responsible when he said it. And I had to say, well, you was the dumbass, because even though you didn't know, you should have asked somebody, because who got stuck, if you will. So I had to forgive myself that I played a role in it. And that's what a lot of women or men won't do. And you have to admit, hey, I screwed up, or that was a bad choice I made, or man, I got jacked or whatever. But you know what? That thing is not going to be the end of my progress.
Right. Or the end of
you. And for the end.
Yeah. And
like you got to figure out who or why, because if you don't, you will stay there. My son's upcoming birth was impetus for me to say, okay, I don't know what I'm going to do, but I know what I ain't going to do.
Right. And that helps more than one way. At least you know, don't go in that direction. Do anything else, but
right. If you go there, that's what you're gonna get, and if that's what you're running from, you better turn around and keep running the other way.
Right.
Yes, and it's something that simple. It's just as important as knowing what you.
Yeah, and I think I heard it said, in taking the example of you having written your first book, and even in doing social media, having conversations like this, is that in writing things down, they're way of journaling or his way of categorizing your own history. But even with that lady telling you, it's like you had to remind yourself who you were and what you overcame. That way it's like, oh, I did overcome that. So I can get over this being able to say no. Like I got through something that was so much harder. This little thing, it is a little thing. And it's like, if I could have done that, I can do this. Like regardless of where my mind might be at, what I think, however big this giant may be, like I listened to the message that your son did yesterday, and I happened to be flipping through YouTube, and I was like, let me check it out. And when he spoke about, he spoke on the Goliaths, like being paralyzed by Goliaths. Mm-hmm. And that message just, it was at the right time. And I was able to take it in, and pairing it with the conversation I had with my coach the same day, actually that morning, and then driving back, because I took a trip for the weekend, going meet up with some brothers from the prayer line, see their event and be able to celebrate them. And it was one of those things where when you get a message and there's that feeling like, man, somebody could really use this. It's like, hey, that's somebody's you.
See?
And like, look in the mirror and be like, okay, I'm going to give this to myself. Accept this message, and instead of just running at the mouth wanting to give in order to get that affirmation back from someone that like it feels like I'm desperately starved for, I've started to slowly give myself the things that I need. And even if it's scrolling through social media and like finding a post or a talk that someone's giving or a message, I'm like, okay, let me like it, let me save it. That way it's like, if I need to be, if I feeling a certain type of weight, I think I titled a thing, remember. Mm-hmm. So that way it's like, if I need to remember something, I'll go here to these saved videos or these saved posts, and I'll go, okay, here. And even in creating this podcast and highlighting yourself, it's funny how words work, but like it's titled It's My Time. And when I highlight the people and I highlight the messages, it's like the messages speak back to me, and I have to hear myself speak back to myself. And I have to value what it is that I'm doing and what it is that I'm putting into it. Because what's funny is that, like, we talked about it briefly, and I've had other people ask me the question. And before, I felt either a little lazy or a little guilty that, okay, is this thing monetary or is it not? And the thing that I've, in acknowledging that and looking at it on the face of it, I'm like, no, it's not. To answer the question on the short end, no. It's not there. It's not doing that. And that might be a goal, but it might not be my goal right now. But exactly. I know that what I'm doing is meeting a need, and that need is more than sufficient for this. Like I'm not having to debate with myself, like, am I using this as a caveat to not do the work, so to speak? Because it's like, the work isn't the problem. The work's going to get done regardless. It's that valuing myself. That's the challenge.
Important. Yeah. I mean, it is a challenge, because depending on your personality type, I happen to be a high
S. C.
S.
Yeah, you and me both.
If we're not careful, we will be depressed, and we'll wonder why. But we have to work so much harder. And as a high S, I realized when I was depleted, I was a totally different person, short, defensive, combative. And it's like, I realized that a lot of times we actually operate in our, what do you call, adaptive personality. Yeah. And that's why we're not happy. Once I saw my strengths, but that strength could be a weak if I wasn't careful.
Yeah.
I'm just happier. Mm-hmm. And I think that my lower number, my adaptive, went way up, because now I don't let people burn me out.
Right.
I'm conscious enough to say, you, by definition, you are this supportive person, but you allow people take it to the nth degree. Mm-hmm. You are don't want to say no, or, oh my God, if they say, oh girl, I'm you'll stop cooking, whatever, yeah. You know, and they love, if they truly love us, mm-hmm. they'll accept that we're getting, I'm not going to call it stronger, but mm-hmm. more self-protect. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be a little time for they get it. But once they see that that's who you are, it's like, I've moved to another season. It's not even, I'm tired of people using me and I'm not doing that no more. It's like, I'm not there now. I'm here. And it calls me more self-absorbed.
Yeah.
But I get organized better so they can get what they want. But it's not against what I work more in lockstep mm-hmm. than me just being overgiver.
Yeah.
It's not healthy for them and it's not healthy.
Yeah. And I like the use of seasons, because seasons come and seasons go and they change. And it's not a forever thing. It's like life is something that continues to move on year in, year out, day in, day out. And it's, you take it for what it is and respect it. Like now it's summertime. We're not outside trying to record. This is like, we have the good fortune of air conditioning. So we're sitting inside somewhere nice and cool, air conditioned. And it's like, when wintertime's going to come, we're going to crank up the heat a little bit. First, we're going to enjoy fall, look at the leaves change and whatever comes with that. And it's that, actually, there's something to be said about, like, the more you become a better observer of yourself. And I like the way that you said it, a better protector of yourself. You actually see the world different, and you gain an appreciation for just what's actually happening, not just around you, but within you. And that helps you put those different pieces of yourself back together.
Back together, because we're all broken in some manner of speech. And sometimes it's not even what someone's done. It's how we perceive the world. It's not always somebody's fault. But that when we come to grips with that, when I came to grips with a lot of things, I am just in a better state of mind, emotionally healthier. And with that, you find that you're on a higher frequency now. And you attract different people, because when you're a naysayer or you're depressed, I swear they, all your friends depressed. Can't grow.
Right.
But it got elevated and I started questioning what my intentions of why I did things. Was it organic? Was it natural? Or was this something you felt you need to be a part of this relationship? No, if it was, it's not real. And it's tension and stress.
Right.
But when I find I'm organic, even if I'm overwhelmed, I'm not overwhelmed, because I'm in the right frame of mind.
Right.
But when I'm doing things that I'm really not connected to in a way that's healthy or that I really want, I find that it's a drag. And so now if I feel like it's a drag, I'm going to try to help you. But if it's going to put me in an emotional, unstable spot, I might have to send somebody else.
And what did they say? When it's an emergency, don't call me, call 911. They'll get there quicker.
Yeah, because people will make it an emergency.
Yeah.
Because for me, I would get it. Oh, they about to pull my car. Why? I mean, I'm 4 months behind. Nobody got 4 months of a car note for you, baby. They're going to pull that car, I promise. If you think I'm going to be the one. And there's like, I can't believe she wouldn't help. I got kids and no. It's not I don't make it my job like I
do. Yeah.
Now people will do better because they can't assume 100% on your reaction when you tell them I'm in a new season and I don't do that.
Yeah.
They figure it out, and most of them will stop before they have to jump out of the burning building.
Yeah.
Because you're just not doing it no more, because we're not mad. I'm in a different season, and I love the way that sounds, because we have four seasons. Saying I'm just tired. Yeah, that's combative. And then you got to defend your position. No, I'm in a different season now, and I'm just not doing those type of things. And I'm so sorry, but I'm trying to do what I like right now. I'm still on my last leg. So I got it in mind. Yeah, I like to continue. Yeah. And I'm so grateful to still be able to have an open heart and a mind and continue myself.
I'll get you out of here with this question. What's something you're looking forward to this year, or what's something I think our conversation has been a lot of that, but as the year is going into the school, and for me, it just feels like it's about to speed up going towards the end of the year.
My goal now is to start a book club. I actually put the flyer out today and take my lessons learned in my book and just do a roundtable coaching, share some things. And my book is in four different time periods of my life.
Right.
It will start at the beginning, and like the question I want to ask, what happened? Because so much happened to us as kids that shaped us away. And it wasn't all good or health, but it was what you're steeped in. Is it time to get out of that pot and get into a different pot? And change is hard, but I did not have success until I reviewed the past and saw how I was operating, how they weren't serving any. And when you're open to that, and this is what I want to share, I didn't just spring up. I've had probably as hard a life as most women, but I decided that was a season too, that I had no control over. But once I got old enough to take consideration of my own well-being, then I said, oh, I can't do this. I got to leave this environment in order to grow. Right. And that's what I want to show them. Your beginning is not your end. It's just a path that we all have to go to get to where we want. And it's a choice.
Right. Well said. And I think as you're speaking, you're reminding me of two books that I've come across. One of them is actually What Happened to You by Oprah. I think she co-authored it. And then there's another one that's titled The Body Remembers. And I think that was given to me earlier this year. And it's one of those things where in having these books and different things, it's that when the time's right, you can have that time to come to it. And what you're going to be doing with your book club, I think that's a wonderful idea, because I saw Patrick Peet our last conversation. We talked about his book Discover Your Gift and how he used it at his local church and basically making a Bible study around it where they could walk through it chapter by chapter, and like you're saying, being able to walk through yours in those four sections and those four seasons would be something.
Oh, that sounds like something to consider as well. Now that I'm at my son's church and I literally live in Lansing now. So I'm close. I would really consider that.
Yeah.
I think that would help us all.
Maybe I could put you two in contact. I think maybe probably already are in contact, but
I haven't talked to Patrick Peet in a minute, but I know. How is he doing since his wife passed? I know that was so difficult.
I think it'd be hard for me to say, but I think it's definitely something that's still a work in process, work in progress. But being able to hear from him and hear his spirit, I think he's doing his best.
Good. That's all you can ask. But it's a process. He's been married for a long time and loved, adored his wife.
Yeah.
So it's not, it's like up and down. I'm waves of regret and sorrow, and then days where I'm grateful that he had her.
Yeah.
The healing process, it's not linear.
Very true. Well, on that note, it's great to have this conversation with you.
It's good to talk to you, and I'm encouraged by it and just grateful for what my tagline, keep going, and I live by that.
Love it.
Even the bad stuff, find good stuff within it, take you further along the path that you want to go.
Agreed. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure, and I would love to have a copy of this.
Yes, ma'am.
Mind if I post some of it?
Sure. I'll send it to you right now once I get it uploaded.
Okay, perfect. Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure as always.
Yes,
and
ma'am.
Man, you're doing it. I see a lot of your, it's needed. I need to start doing something like
that. Thank you.
Yeah. So keep going. Don't stop.
For sure. And if you need help, I won't promise, but we'll make something happen. I'll try.
Okay. That's all you can expect.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Well, take care.
Thank you.